This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And the Mike White Experience was top billing. Now that Zach Wilson is going to be able to take center stage again.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Now we're starting Joe Flacco.
Yeah, listen, I'm excited about it.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL insider Mike Tannenbaum. Kansas quarterback Jalen Daniels. Still to come, Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Schlereth. Plus, actor and comedian David Alan Greer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Very excited to have David Alan Greer in studio once again. I'm a big fan of his and his work. And I you know, he's a Michigan guy, and there's just lots to connect with. And it's just great having human beings here. And my daughter... my daughter watched Clifford the Big Red Dog over the weekend. That's his new film. He plays Packard, and it's just great to see the dog doing back in action. And Clifford, I read those books, and my daughter calls it the greatest movie she's ever seen. And she's eight. And that's what it's all about, is it not? That's what it's all about, is it not? So David Alan Greer is about to come out here on this show. The Saints just announced they are fetting Drew Brees during the Thanksgiving nightcap against the Bills. And they're going to honor him at halftime of that game.
I thought you said they're going to try to get him to come back.
No. Well, maybe they'll ask him that during halftime, but I doubt it. And I wish the Saints well on that, because it seems that every single return of somebody to be in a Ring of Honor this year, you know, the Eagles shut out pretty much the Lions when they put why am I blanking on his name right now in the Ring of Honor? They put
Calvin Johnson.
No, not Calvin Johnson. No, Calvin Johnson got his ring, and they got their ass kicked on that game. Chris Spielman in the Ring of Honor. Eli Manning, the Giants got smoked when they put. It just seems that everybody's been honored this year. It's been difficult. I'd like to actually maybe even look that up, but the Saints are taking on the Eagles this weekend. And this is a big game for both teams. And the man who's calling that, and who also called last week on Fox, the Washington football team beating the Bucks, one of our favorites back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Mark Schlereth. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing good. You know what, Rich? You're 100% right. Here in Denver, they honored Mike Shanahan, put him in the Ring of Fame. And then they played the Raiders, and the Raiders acted like it was a rivalry. And the Broncos played like they had dinner reservations that they were late to. Yeah, same type of thing here in Denver.
I'm telling you, I think we need to look that up, Chris. Like, let's figure that one out, because
that's a deep dive.
Woe to the Saints, certainly since the Bills are coming in. So, what did you learn watching the Bucs come off their bye week and get hit in the mouth by the Washington football team, Mark?
Yeah, you know, it was really strange. I mean, first and foremost, they really put a tent, kind of coverage wise, Washington did against the Bucs. They put a tent, and they basically said, you're going to throw it underneath. We're going to rally around and try to make tackles. And it was interesting because Brady tried to involve the backs, and there must have been six drops in that game by running backs. So they were consistently behind the chains. They did get loose one time with a big play over the top to Mike Evans that Brady was exceptional in, but they were just out of sync. And of course, they didn't run the ball. I mean, it was always a 13-point, 7-point, 9-point, whatever it was, game. But it just seemed like they had completely abandoned that, and we're going to win the way we want to win, which is throwing the ball and dumping it to the backs. And Ultimately, none of that stuff really worked, and it was really more about lack of execution to me on the offensive side of the ball. If they complete those balls to the backs, and they're every one of them is a catchable ball, you know, you're in a different ball game because you're not in third down and seven. You're not in third down and nine. You're in third down and two, and, you know, that's a much better place to live, obviously, as an offense.
So, but you know how we are in this NFL media world, that the Bucs are in trouble. They've lost two around a bye right now, and the NFC's wide open, and it's anybody's to win. Do you believe that right now?
No. Do I think they're in trouble? No, I mean, absolutely not. You know, they're a solid football team. They're playing great up front. Their O-line is a really good unit, one of the top units in football. And then when you just talk about pure talent, Rich, I mean, they are the most talented. When you look at Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and some of the secondary players they didn't even have, obviously Gronkowski coming, you know, he's got the rib injury, and Antonio Brown didn't play. This kid Johnson, Tyler Johnson, is playing really well. They've got a boatload of talent. They started, I think, 8 different corner combinations through their first 9 games. So they've been injured. They're going to get Murphy Bunting back. They're going to get Carlton Davis back. They're going to be loaded. They're just going to be absolutely loaded down the stretch run. So, you hate losing games. I get that. But am I concerned that all of a sudden they're not going to be good anymore? They're not going to be a playoff contender or a Super Bowl contender? No, not at all. I think they're going
to
be great.
So if you have to place the Schlereth mortgage in house on an NFC team to make the Super Bowl, which one would you do it on? Which one?
Well, Green Bay, I think Green Bay is probably under the radar to some degree because I think their defense is playing so much better than anybody gives them credit for. It's hard to focus on anything other than, you know, Aaron Rodgers and the season that he has and the player that he is. But I think Green Bay is probably playing as well as anybody. But you know how this league is. I mean, if the last 2 weeks have told you anything, it is more week to week than it has ever been in any time I can remember. But I would probably, if I had a place a bet, I'd probably go Green Bay right now.
Yeah, Dallas is, you know, it's amazing how you want to talk about week to week is. I mean, Dallas gets smoked by Denver and then does the deed itself to Atlanta, right? And then Denver itself goes from playing easily their best game of the Vic Fangio era, if you want to call it that, easily. And it's one of Bridgewater's best games that he's played. And I know that he subbed in for Breeze and played very well there too. But this is Teddy's virtuoso performance. And then he olays big play Slay the next week. How did that, how does something like that land in a locker room when you're watching back on film?
Well, I mean, it's horrendous. As a player, simply because, you know, especially the quarterback position, you know, everybody on that team is you know, taking shots for you, right? I mean, they're putting it on the line so that you can be as good as you can be, and you're doing anything you can do to keep people off your quarterback, and for your quarterback to basically just sidestep contact, you know, to not make a play. That becomes one of those things where it becomes kind of independent contractor, and that's the best way to lose football games. When every guy is out there going, I'm playing for me. I'm not playing for us. This is not a we thing. This is a me thing. And when you get to that point as a football team, you'll never be any good. And now you look at the Broncos in general. Under Vic Fangio the last 2 years, 13 home games, 7 of them have been losses by double digits. At home, you look at right now the Raiders. They were uncompetitive. In the end of the game, a guy they voted team captain before the season started, Cortland Sutton. End of the game, late third quarter, Teddy Bridgewater throws an interception, and it's being returned, and Cortland Sutton just walks off the field, doesn't chase it. I mean, he's your team captain, and he just quit on that play. And then you get the same thing, Teddy Bridgewater, who you voted team captain, does the same thing on Darius Slay. Unacceptable. And that goes to, you know, that goes to culture. That goes to the head coach. I worked as a plumber's apprentice one summer when I was probably 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And I'm working, and this guy says to me, hey, man, I'm going to teach you everything you need to know about plumbing. And I basically have a shovel, and I'm digging a ditch down to the septic tank from this apartment complex we're building. And he said, and I'm like, okay, man, I'm going to get everything I need to know about plumbing right now. And he goes, okay, you ready? I said, yes. Yeah, I'm ready to take it all in, right, Rich?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, basically, I'll clean this up for the radio.
Right.
Poop flows downhill. Make sure you've got a, you know, make sure you've got gravity on that pipe you're digging. That 50 yards of dirt you're going to move, make sure it's flowing downhill. That's all you need to know. And from an organizational standpoint, if your owner or your head coach doesn't establish and live a culture every single day, it's going to filter down to the players, and the players are going to take culture is built. It's the path of least resistance. And if you don't hold people accountable at the very top of your organization, how do you expect expect the people underneath you to hold themselves accountable? And it's unfortunate because that's not the Denver Broncos that I played for, and it's upsetting.
I mean, Elway's the helicopter guy, right? I mean, for lack of a better phrase,
right.
You know what I mean? And he's got to be seeing this too. You know, that's what I'm saying. What do you do? I mean, this is a team that has an opportunity to make the playoffs this year, but I think you could already see that they still haven't found the answer at quarterback, right, for their future.
Yeah, I mean, like Teddy Bridgewater is not the future quarterback of your organization. You just don't have him on your roster. Whoever that guy is, he's not part of your roster right now. So, but again, you can still do things the right way.
No, I know that. So do you think you're one of the, if I'm not mistaken, you sent some serious alarm bells on draft night, Mark, on your Twitter feed. Is Deshaun Watson still or Rodgers still a possibility here in Denver, do you think?
I don't think there's any question if those guys became available that new general manager George Payton would be, you know, first in line to see what he could come up with. You know, and that's part of moving Von Miller and getting a third and a second and, you know, doing some of the deals that he has done here in this season to try to get as much draft capital as possible, because if any of these guys becomes available, if the Packers decide it's time to move on, I believe without any doubt that the Broncos would be first in line to try to make a play. That doesn't mean they'll get him, but I think they'll try to make a play.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, the question is, though, if you're Rodgers, you know, and if you do make that move and you'd want to win now, I don't know if the Broncos would have that leg up, you know, like, say, the Steelers might or, right. You know, and obviously Deshaun Watson, you know, would have to realize that there would still be a process for him if that's what he's looking for. But clearly, if he's okaying South Florida and Miami, he knows that he's ready for something like that. I just don't know if Denver is, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Rich, I think they're a more talented roster than their record would necessarily indicate.
Right.
And so, you know, I think they've got some talented pieces, but. I always told my son when he was coming up in baseball and playing even in the major leagues, you know, talent's wasted on talented people. And it's so much more than talent. It requires so much more. Talent is it's really nice to have, but, you know, talent, if you don't have the work ethic and you don't have the desire and you don't have the, you know, all the other intangible aspects to it, talent really doesn't mean anything.
Few more minutes left here with Mark Schlereth. You got Saints Eagles this week. You had, as I mentioned, Bucks Washington football team last week. The best team you've seen with your own two eyes going around the country for Fox this year so far has been which team, Mark?
Ooh, that's a loaded question.
Okay.
Because I've seen I think the Saints defense is incredible. Obviously, offensively, they have to win the way they have to win. They've got to manage Trevor Siemian. They've got to, you know, their receiving core isn't what it once was. So that's really hard. Baltimore did a Baltimore game. When they're running the ball, they can be dynamic, but the defense has got some issues. I don't know that I've seen what I would call a complete football team over the course of this year on film. I think Tampa's the most talented team in football, and I still would probably put them from all the teams that I've called as the best team I've called. They had a bad result in the game that I called, but I still think they're just studying film and going back three games and really digging in, and then the game I called, I think they're, you know, the most talented team that I've called.
What about the AFC then? Which one do you think has got the best shot here? Tennessee, a game and a half in front of of the Ravens right now. You know, what do you think in the AFC?
You know, Chiefs Tennessee is interesting, and this is part of the, I think this is part of, for me, the part of the problem with the NFL right now, is many teams don't have identities. And that's what I love about the Tennessee Titans. They know who they are. And they play to that strength. Like, there's nothing better than, I'll reminisce back to my playing days in Denver. If we got in a second down and short situation, and I'm sitting in the huddle, I'm standing in the huddle waiting, I know without question what plays are getting called. We're either running 18-19 handoff, 14-15 handoff for QB sneak. 100%. Because we're going to churn. We're going to churn first downs. We're going to beat you up at the line of scrimmage. We're going to pound you, make you defend it. We're going to get a first down and get three more downs. And so when you have an identity, you know what's coming. You set your jaw and you prepare yourself. And that's how you impose your will upon other teams. You know what you're good at. And it's very much like Global Gym. We're better than you, and we know it. And here we come. And that's Tennessee to me. They know what they are, right? They just, there's not one guy on that team that questions what the philosophy is, what the identity is. They know what they're going to do. And there's, not only can you execute it because it's what you do all the time, right? So you're going to be better at executing it, but there's a comfort in knowing what you are. And I think there's a lot of teams that week to week, they want to be something other than they are. They want to be special. They want to do something, you know, outside the box. And more often than not, it's kind of like the New England Patriots. You lose more games than you win. And they just kind of wait around for you to make mistakes and capitalize on those mistakes.
That's
where I'm at.
That's what I hear you, Mark. And that's why we're talking about teams in week 10 that are, quote unquote, back. You know, the Patriot way appears back. The Chiefs looked like the Chiefs that with their identity. And you could say the thing about the 49ers, another Shanahan coach team, like running it 40 times, putting Debo in the backfield to get him away from Jalen Ramsey, throwing it over the middle to Kittle no matter what. You know, that's the stuff. And there has to be some sort of, I guess, metric in knowing your identity and then playing to it.
Success. You know, the 49ers, you mentioned them. I could see them winning seven of the next eight games and being a legit playoff contender. I mean, that game was going on. I sent my wife upstairs with a dog and, you know, went to the study, put a tie on the doorknob. That thing was like, I mean, they're just physically whipping the snot out of people, shortening necks. I mean, that's my kind of football. I was like, oh, I'm in. I'm in on this. This is awesome.
Tie on the doorknob means what, Mark? What does that mean?
It means I need to be left alone right now. Papa Bear's watching football.
Papa Bear, thanks for coming on this show, man. Let's do this more often. You take care of yourself.
Anytime, Rich. Take care, buddy.
That's Mark Schlereth. You can catch him on Fox with Adam Amin, Saints and Eagles this week. Hey, man, you were talking about the Eagles are on the outside looking in. They're sniffing it. They're on the periphery of sniffing it.
Absolutely.
That's a big game, 4-6. And then the Saints sitting there in a playoff spot right now in the NFC. That's a pretty darn big football game for week 11. Let's take a break. We'll come back. David Alan Greer is here in studio. This will be fun. That's next. Don't you dare move. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices make sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guests work is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're here on NBC Sports on Peacock, and we're here on NBC Sports Audio, Sirius XM 85, the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network, coast to coast. Thrilled to have back here in person. Great to see this man in the flesh. Woo. Clifford the Big Red Dog is available now in theaters and on Paramount+. David Alan Greer, how are you, sir?
Rich, you know, it's so great to be back in the studio.
Thank you.
I like being here in person. You know, last time I think we spoke via phone.
Indeed.
Something.
On the phone. It's, pandemic conversation.
Yeah, it's never as good as being in the studio.
Well, we missed you, and it's okay if you want to admit, did your coffee mug break? And you wanted,
no.
You wanted a new one? And
no, okay. You don't know me at all. I have to have backups. It's not about breaking. No, it's like
there's a ceramic depth chart.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess so. I'm gonna be too deep.
You'll be too deep,
just in case something happens.
That's the way you like to play defense. The too deep mug.
You know, plan B. Plan B.
I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And I feel
yes
that my mug love was questioned.
Oh boy,
by certain listeners, viewers.
Okay.
But I was speaking from the heart, man. Come on.
We don't have to
revisit it. But yes, it's still one of my top mugs.
Okay, fantastic.
Yes.
Well, I'm thrilled that you are here. Greatly appreciated. Mm-hmm. So is my entire family.
Whoa.
I don't know if you're aware. If you've read your reviews for Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Oh.
That is available now in theaters and on Paramount+. But my 8-year-old daughter
yes.
called it the greatest movie she's seen in her life.
That, ladies and gentlemen, she may be the first female president of this
country. It's like,
what is her name?
She's got
I
this
ask?
Up. Taylor Mattingly Eisen. Her middle name is Mattingly after my favorite baseball
Mattingly
player, Don Mattingly. Yes.
Mattingly Eisner. President Mattingly I mean,
yes, right, exactly. Clifford the Big Red Dog mm-hmm. in theaters now. Taylor said, because we want, at Saturday night, there was a certain... we had a dinner party at her house
yes.
outdoors
mm-hmm.
and to make sure that my daughter was occupied.
Oh.
Thankfully, Paramount Plus came in and was a very terrific way. And she couldn't wait to see it. She's a big, fan of the book series and dogs in general. And now David Alan Greer.
Thank you. You know, so is my daughter, but she's 13 and a half. So she was not interested in Clifford. That's for children. She is a teenager.
Okay.
As she reminds me every day.
Okay.
Own music, different than mine, clothing, sense of style, all of it.
So Clifford the TikTok dog would be more?
Oh, TikTok is what
is
she's
that,
like.
That be Clifford the TikTok
yeah, she's
dog?
Not on, she's not on social media, but so whenever she's with me, she's like, man, look at TikTok. I'm like, what? Why? What is there to look at? I'm an old man now. What is this TikTok?
See, my issue is my son, my oldest, he's 13, which is why I went yeah. straight for the TikTok because mm-hmm. he's totally nuts about that. He also wants to watch YouTube, and that is a particularly dangerous wormhole for a 13-year-old to go on.
But at least it's full length. TikTok is like how to fly to the moon in 30 seconds. Right. Or you need a rocket. Now space, boom, and you're on the moon. You're an astronaut. That's what, I mean, there's more to it than that.
There is definitely more to it than that.
You know.
Yeah, they do cut to the chase a little bit quicker.
At least YouTube, they get you in there and they really indoctrinate you. You don't need vitamins. You just need dirt. That's all you need.
Just rub it on there.
Eat it.
I know.
It'll cure everything.
So I say to him, get off of TikTok. And he goes, why? Doesn't the Rich Eisen Show? And get off of YouTube. He goes, why? Doesn't the Rich Eisen Show have a YouTube page? And it's just like, okay, now.
You guys, if you were on TikTok, Think how short your day would be.
Well,
Rich Eisner. Sports, David Greer, he's gone now. Source all's over. That'll be it.
And that'll wrap it up.
That'll be it.
Well, TJ Jefferson is our social media grand maester in the corner, and he just, you know, you're how old are you, TJ?
I'm old, man.
Okay, so there's no.
I'm old,
but
man.
He's much younger than me.
I know. Although, wait a minute. Do we have this photograph? Let's put it up on the screen, if you don't mind, Mike Hoskins. TJ, you and TJ have met before.
We hung out, man, yeah. Back in the day.
So there's a back in the day photograph of you, TJ, and Ashton Kutcher. There it is, right there.
Look at that. Look how young I am. I have hair.
Man. That was like 2001.
I still have the hat.
Where is this? Is this like a pizza place? What is this?
I'm going to tell you where this was at. Don't tell me. This was at an airport.
Okay.
And this is a little place we went in to grab some food because we were on our way to Costa Rica.
Exactly.
Boom.
Wow.
Costa Rica.
Did you guys vacation? You guys vacation together in Costa Rica?
Well, kind of, sort of. As I recall.
Yes.
It was an opening of an online casino.
Yes, in San Jose.
Yep, we were flown down there.
Uh huh.
And it was a very intense. Was it 24 hours?
It was like 48 for some.
You got down. I know I was jet lagged completely.
Mm-hmm.
I was so jet lagged, and I fell down these stone steps, like slipped, because they were all stone, and it was like kind of raining.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God. Under normal circumstances, I would have got in bed. But I just piled on the Advil and, woo, middle-aged guy partying. Yeah.
Was that your recollection too, TJ?
I remember it was, you know, a lot of people flew down Friday. Yes. My crew kind of flew down. And where we met up with Dag in the airport was like either Friday night or Saturday morning. So everyone there had a full night partying before we got there. And from what I understand, It was quite the spectacle.
Uh-huh. We got it in. I remember they said there was like one complimentary thing. You could go like, what do you call it when you on the wire thing and then
ziplining.
Ziplining.
Uh-huh. What the hell?
You could go rock climbing, or you had to pick one. Mm-hmm. So I chose the zip line.
Okay.
And I made it. You know, I made it through. But it was
zip lining in the jungle.
Well, you started. They took you all the way up in the very top, and we went the first one. I was like, "Cool, that was fun." They were like, "Nah, man, you got five more because you got to go all the way down, zipping,
all the way down."
Yeah, like you would go, and then you would stop, you know, on a little pad or something. It was fun.
It was a good trip.
David Alan Greer here on the Rich Eisen Show, here in person. Clifford the Big Red Dog, available now in theaters and on Paramount Plus. Joe Pickett is a new drama series that's exclusively on Spectrum starting next month. We'll hit on that in a second. And that photograph, I saw you had a Red Wings lid on.
Well, you know, I'm from Detroit.
I do know that, sir.
And you're, first of all, and people are watching.
You're a Michigan man. Yes.
I mean, come on. You know how we do?
I do know that.
First of all, folks don't know, we were sharing the love for Michigan football, man.
Mm-hmm.
For Michigan to lose to Michigan State
sucks.
Was so horrifying.
It was.
The only thing that made it right mm-hmm. is when the rankings came out 2 weeks later. We were one
up in front of them. I don't know how that happened.
I'll tell you how it happened.
How does it happen?
Okay, Michigan State got so up to play Michigan, because people, unless you're in Michigan or you're an alumni, you don't understand. There's only two games in the whole season. Michigan State, mm-hmm. Ohio State.
Correct.
Ohio State is everything.
Yes.
Right under that is Michigan State, our arch rivals. It was a really good game. I mean, halfway through, I thought, we got this. Right. I was tweeting snarky stuff. They snuck us, but I heard a guy on radio say it was the best loss Michigan could ever have had.
Why is that?
Because the next week, when Michigan State was routed by Purdue,
yes.
a much lower ranked team,
yes.
that meant more than our almost win, yet we still lost to Michigan. That Michigan State. That's why we were ranked one slot higher.
And of course, only someone with a Michigan degree, not a Michigan State degree, could figure that out.
Clearly, of course,
right? We understand that.
Of course.
So, but why are you tweeting out during a game, David Alan Greer?
That's what I do. That's what I do.
Yes, but
way premature too.
You should know better.
Nah, premature too. Like if I were a boxer, it'd be round one. Woo! Knockout, baby. 2 seconds later, I don't know. I should have. He was a good fighter. You know. I'm always.
I know. Yeah. That's what you're.
I have to. It was too much because I like to. Jemele Hill.
Mm-hmm.
I like to nag and.
Well,
and really...
She smoked cigars in her Michigan State jerseys after beating Michigan.
Yes.
Like she is the one that I would want to.
She started it.
Well, she always does when it comes to state, you know, but kind of bringing it all full circle of what you're saying is that Michigan is Michigan State's Super Bowl and Ohio State is Michigan's Super Bowl. The problem is for Michigan, you know, is that Super Bowl has been, you know, lost a lot lately.
Well, I don't expect them to win this year. So let's just be honest.
So are you going to tweet out during that game, too?
Well, yeah, because I know what that's going to be. I know what that's going to be. So I could either go one of two ways.
How are you going to do this?
Tweet my real feeling, which is depression.
Mm-hmm.
It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. Or just blind euphoria, which is
I can't
this
even
is
think
just
about that.
What we want to do. We don't want to win. See, we want to prime you guys up for next year when we knock you out. You know. But that's harder. That's harder to maintain.
It is because it's a year-long maintenance.
Thank you.
You'd rather just get it out of the way in four quarters.
Yeah, I don't.
See, I love my family very much. I feel like I'm a family man. I've got this best dad ever sign that I received two Father's Days ago, and I'm I'm on like a Gehrig like streak, a Ripken like streak, as best dad ever. But on those Saturdays recently, those Michigan Ohio State Saturdays. Is when I really throw myself into my love of family, where where I have to, around the first and second quarter, think, you know what? Football's not everything.
Oh, God.
You know, my kids love me.
State
I love my kids.
So close. You
know, I know that.
What about our coach? Is it true he's paying the university to coach? Because they said, bro, you got to give back all the money. All you keep is that damn jacket
and his khakis.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is he going to be there next year?
I think so. I mean, think about it, David. David Allen Greer on the Rich Eisen Show. They have won. They just haven't won the game. And
but
it's just too.
Really need to, the nation needs to understand this. If Michigan lost every single game and only won one or two of those particular games we spoke of, Ohio State, Mou, he would be golden. He'd be golden. Mou, reference to their
agriculture.
Brilliant architecture. Agriculture.
Yes, they're very good at agriculture.
Yes.
I know
milking
that.
Them cows, baby.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyway, it was so close. I was so... Mm-hmm. It took me to the height of euphoria down to the depths of... I don't care. I don't care. I want to explain my outfit if you...
Please, yes. For the, for the radio audience, you are wearing what looks like overalls.
They are.
Okay.
Indeed.
And is this sort of like a seersucker
overall? It's a stripe.
Okay.
It is not what they would call a railroad stripe because it's a little wider.
Okay.
An engineer type denim jacket.
Yes.
Open road hat. My full beard. I went to pick my daughter up from school, and it was like, you know, the scene from the Shirley Temple Heidi, when Grandpa's lost in the snow, and she's in the house celebrating Christmas with the rich white folks. He's like, Heidi, Heidi, and she can't hear him, and he's all lost in the snowstorm. That's how I felt. That's how I felt, you know. That's how far away my world is to my daughter at this point. It's just. But anyway, this is what I really wear. I was going to wear a smart outfit.
Okay.
But I said, it's Rich. He doesn't want me to lie.
No, I don't. I don't. I want the real unfiltered David Allen Greer on the Rich Eisen Show.
Well,
you know, like that's what I only can come to expect and I would want. And so.
Yes. I haven't like tried to circle around and give you that movie plug. You know, it's funny you mentioned Michigan.
Okay.
Clifford, by the way. I didn't do that. You know, I didn't do any of that stuff.
No, you could if you'd like.
No, it's good. The movie's there.
Movie's definitely there. It's hugely popular.
It is.
David.
Listen, I'm just happy to be in a flick. It was pre-pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I say that because, you know, to do a movie back then, that was the old days. They just came and picked you up.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to get up in the morning and do the survey, the health survey.
Right.
You didn't have to get tested. None of that. We just rolled in the car, you know, face naked, laughing, coughing.
And so you did this all together? So were you with John Cleese at some point in time?
At one point I was. Yeah. I don't think he knew. There's a scene that we did. There was a big finale of the film.
Right.
Down at the river.
Yes.
And everybody, I mean, all the, quote, stars were there. But over a maybe 2-acre area, mm-hmm. landmass. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I was there with John, but not there with John.
Got it.
And Rosie.
Sure.
Kenan, all of them. They were over there.
They were over there.
Yes.
Why were you?
Well, I play the well, how do you say it? The put upon building super.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they're hiding Clifford. So there's a lot of, what was that noise?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, you hear something?
Mm-hmm.
Why does it smell funny in here? Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that.
Yes, right. Okay. And so that's that.
Yes. Okay. And I was true to my storyline. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't just like go and hang out.
Okay.
And it was very regimented too, because that was a day where we had to get this shot by a certain period of time, and it was all cordoned off in New York.
Okay. So so when it comes to being a put upon super, you're a method actor is what you're basically
Absolutely.
Saying.
Absolutely.
Like you're always in your role.
I was.
Pretty much.
I was. Okay. And I love shooting in New York. Shooting in New York is the best.
Of course.
That's a great. It was a big hotel. Hometown. It was awesome. It was back when they would bring the rooms, like the room service would come in.
Right.
And they would just like touch your food. You know what right. I mean? Back in the day.
So who was your comedic influence?
Honestly?
Yes, please.
You know, comedy is generational.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was really young, I saw Richard Pryor on the Ed Sullivan Show. Now, let me preface this by saying most of my young life is I would watch the Mike Douglas Show every day after school with mm-hmm. my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mike would have like Georgie Jessel, who was a guy, he might as well have been an alien, a foreign body.
Sure.
Because he would come on with this uniform.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't in the army, but he said, I'm the Toastmaster General. And I was like, what? I don't, okay.
Got it.
And he would tell these jokes that they weren't funny.
He had a weird voice too. And
no,
stuff
there was
like that.
No yeah. semblance of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get it. And Richard Pryor was the first comic who I saw that made me laugh, and he was talking to me
mm-hmm.
about me, about my world. So that was.
Did you ever cross paths with him? You ever meet him?
I never. I didn't want to. I
come
had
on, really?
Yeah, because well, I just, because I remember one time I did a play with Lynette McKee,
mm-hmm.
and you know she did Which Way Is Up with Richard Pryor, and she goes, "Oh my God, Richard would love you, David. He would either love you or hate you." And I was like, "Okay, well then we don't need him."
Dude, if it's a coin flip, then
yeah,
you know,
I don't, yeah. I'm good. But he was absolutely my idol.
Right.
Flip Wilson also was huge. And albums back then.
Of course.
Because I remember, this is all old-timey stuff, but we had an annual paper drive, Schultz Elementary School in Detroit. Whoever brought up the biggest pile, they measured it. We would, as an award, we get to play part of Flip Wilson's album mm-hmm. in class, Cowboys and Colored People. It was a big day at Schultz Elementary School.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, Flip Wilson was huge, very huge. And those two guys.
And your favorite in living color set bit that you have?
I'm going to say today.
Because I'm sure you're asked that a lot.
Right.
I might have even asked you that in a previous segment.
But I'll tell you, you know, Jamie Foxx and I, we did this sketch with James Brown. And, you know, I love James Brown. I grew up idolizing him. And when he died, I was like, wow. You know, I was at home. I was going, man, I wish I could have. And I caught myself. I go, I did meet James Brown. We worked together.
Mm-hmm.
So James Brown came in and his hair was permed. And they said, whatever you do, his wife at that time was his hairdresser. They said, whatever you do, do not touch Mr. Brown's hair. This was a sketch about us mm-hmm. f***ing up his hair. So the whole, and they said, Mr. Brown, mm-hmm. you couldn't call him James, JJ, mm-hmm. B Money. It was Mr. Brown. And do not touch his hair. So I was really scared. And it
so
was
not. So did he not know the construct of the bit or at
I
all?
I think someone told him at some point, you know, maybe not read the script, but he was, you know, he's James Brown.
Yeah.
They just would come in and whisper like,
okay, so when you can get up, you can do your dance and walk out.
All right, Dan, let's do it. And so we would do the thing, and I would pantomime touching his hair, and I was supposed to clip it, and they gave me the hair. But every time I got close to him, he would, like, jump, and I'd be like, Mr. Brown, please, excuse me, Mr. Brown. So it was fraught with tension. It wasn't enjoyable, but at the end of the day, I met James Brown and worked with him.
Okay, but you never did, in fact, touch his hair.
I didn't touch him. I was instructed not to.
Wow.
I was instructed not to, but in hindsight, it was historic, and I went back and I watched it, and it was funny because I know the backstory.
Okay.
Maybe not so much to people. That's a different kind of funny.
So then what's the one that was most enjoyable for you then?
I remember one homie the clown, in which homie joins the circus, and I was the good clown trying to show Damon how his clown was a bad clown because he didn't have the right clown attitude. So I would come in, and the whole time it was really fun. What was fun is because I kept making Damon laugh because I had the concentration of a Robert De Niro for that particular sketch. Mm-hmm. I was Goofy the clown to my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole day I was like, okie dokie, homie.
Right.
You know, I can tell you how to really be funny. Oh, that's a bad doobie. You want to be a good clown, you got to laugh like me. You know, and Jerry would be like, man, you don't get out of my face. You know, and I was like, what? Are we on break now, homie? You know? You know, it was just really fun. It was fun. And I did this walk, you know. It was very funny. It was fun to do.
Do you still get residual checks from that?
Probably akin to the check you just showed.
Did you take the
check?
Really? So you did see my residuals?
Yes, okay. I've gotten plenty of those. But, you know, the thing was, technically, when In Living Color was on the air,
yes,
Fox claimed legally that they were not a real network. And they said that at the time, because that affected how residuals were paid.
Because of the number of what exactly. of the O&Os percentage. That they had and whatever.
Yeah, so affiliates. We got a lot of very sketchy, less than a dollar.
Oh, my.
After a while, I mean, it's been 800 years. But I think most people, like we do, you know, when I was a little kid, I was like, you know, the dude who was on Sky King, he must be a trillionaire. Because I'm watching it, and they're like, nope. You know, what? Donna Reed?
Sure.
She's a trillionaire. You know,
not so much.
No residual.
Clifford the Big Red Dog, available now in theaters and on Paramount Plus. Spectrum Originals new drama series, Joe Pickett. Check it out with my friend David Alan Greer, premiering December 6th exclusively on Spectrum. At David Alan Greer on Instagram and definitely on Twitter, where he's going to be sending out that premature first quarter tweet of Go Blue when it's 3-0.
I'm going immediately.
Okay. I can't wait.
It's our time, baby. Woo! Yes. I'm going all in. I don't care.
By the way, that's the new drop on this show. All next week when we're previewing Michigan, Ohio State.
Oh, my God.
I need that. It's our time, baby.
Is it next week?
It is next Saturday. A week from this Saturday.
All right. Let me ask you before I go. What do you think is going to happen?
I'm nervous-sighted is what my children use the word. I'm nervous and excited about it.
Well, give me something to believe
in. I think here's the way to go. Is that they time a possession, a defense that can be beaten. Ohio State's defense is their weaker side of their football team. That Michigan time of possessions them, limits their possessions, gets them frustrated. Hassan Haskins has 170 yards rushing, couple of touchdowns, and their two ends makes it a very difficult day on offense for Ohio State. That's
so
the
we
only
gotta
way to
catch
do it.
Them sleeping.
We gotta catch them on an off day, and Michigan's gotta control the football and make plays on defense and get Ohio State off the field.
Because you know they're gonna take us for granted. They're gonna take us for granted.
No, they will not take us for granted. That never. Never. They will be whipped up into a frenzy. That's what they do.
Can I tell you one last story?
So let's take a break and then you can come back and
tell
do
it. Okay. Now.
All right. Go, then,
Rich,
go ahead.
No, no. I'm
go ahead. No, go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
Just,
no, we're just
no,
up against it with our radio.
You killed the moment. I don't want to talk.
We'll take a break. David Alan Greer, spend the rest of our show with us.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Terrestrial Radio Network with David Alan Greer. You wanted to say a story, and you're like, I
just
a story
told you the story.
So you just
or
told
as
the story.
My daughter tells me, okay. There are utterances with no point.
Okay.
And you prove that point, because I told the story and you doubled back.
No,
with extra emphasis.
I did double back.
Enough with that bullshit.
No,
you have the story
that's
supposed
you're
to be.
You're taking it the very wrong
so
way.
So then I got out of the car, and Kevin Hart, he was like, "Where's the banana?" You know, it wasn't
that's
that
a great story.
Well,
by the way.
That's only the punchline.
Okay, I see. There's no setup
only
to
the
that
punch
one. I got it. All right.
No, that's it, man.
All right. So, and you'd said off camera as well that breaking up Damon Wayans was your favorite thing to do. Is
absolutely. That was one of the reasons I talked about that sketch, which it took everything to keep him focused, because he was crying laughing the whole day because what I was doing. I was just being the character, and the more he laughed, the more I would just double down. Okay, homie. Are we on break now? Are we at lunch? And it was just fun the whole day. That's what we did.
Then it's time to do the skit, and it's no shot, right?
No. It's beautiful. It. Beautiful time. We can't do it now, though. Don't ask.
Don't. What do you mean, do it now?
Well, everybody goes, you know, oh, wow, I wish In Living Color were around. No, we couldn't. We wouldn't be allowed to do it.
You would not, based on what you're doing?
No. It's too. It was politically. It was iffy back then. You know what I mean? I mean, it really was. So in this environment, no, we couldn't do it. We couldn't do it.
But I think people just seeing you all back together as a cast would be something that I think many people would want to see.
It would. It's probably never going to happen just because of legal stuff. But I wanted to do it before we got really old.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
not really
no, but you know, like that's one of the reasons I really hate the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because you know, especially in rock music, you're gods. These people we loved when we were 15, 16, in their prime of youth, and now they have, you know, colostomy bags. And just, you know,
By the way, no teeth. That is what the Rolling Stones tour is called, right?
Oh my god! Oh my god!
The Colossomy Bag Tour, is that what it's called?
Yeah, this friend of mine tweeted, like a 15-year-old, I saw the Stones last night. I'm like, what would possess you to tweet that? These are old men. I mean,
yeah,
I think
but
it's good. But...
You saw them, right, Mike? Didn't you see
no,
them?
No, I didn't. I gave my tickets away.
You went to Eagles.
I went to the Eagles.
Nope. Yeah,
so the Eagles.
Repeat what you just said. He gave his tickets
away. I gave him away.
You know what? I did see that. I saw the Stones once and the old Pontiac Silverdome.
Wow.
Back in the late 80s. That's when I saw them.
Oh, I saw the Stones at Cobo Hall in 1972.
Wow. It was the Steel Wheels Tour, and they were so old then, we were calling it the Steel Wheelchair Tour.
This is what I'm saying. They have been old forever, but I did see them in 72 on acid, and I remember my friends dumped me off on the front lawn, and my mom came out. And she said, what's going on? I was like, this Stones are God. You don't even know, Rob. It was amazing.
David Alan Greer, everybody. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you, Rich.
David Alan Greer.
Everyone here.
Check out Clifford the Big Red Dog in theaters and on Paramount+. We're back to take you to the next show on Peacock in a moment.